We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, big news tonight, recording tonight, putting it out tonight. Of course, we got Zach Neto tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. We're super excited. But first, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Saw the news.
Just well?
Yes. Saw the news. Excited.
We don't have negative Nate tonight?
No, not at all. This is a guy that I've wanted for a while. So
hold tight.
I'm excited.
Hold tight. We don't do this very often. I got to go over everything. You know that.
Yeah.
Guys, just want to thank you all so much for listening to this podcast and watching us on YouTube. If you're doing that, subscribe. Don't forget to pound that subscribe button. If you could, go ahead and follow us on all our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can go ahead and follow myself on Twitter, Jared_Timms, Nate at NateGreen34. If you're on YouTube, you're going to continue to watch us if you are listening to us on any of our sister networks. I don't even know what that means. You'll get ads right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
But okay, let's go ahead and keep on. Let's chug here. Let's get through this. I want our initial thoughts on the big deal. Big deal, I guess. Big-ish deal?
No, I think this is a big deal.
Angels have acquired Hunter Renfro in exchange for Jansen Junk, Elvis Piguero, and Adam Seminaris. Of course, details are still coming in about everything. I know Perry's made a couple comments here tonight already. Super excited about that. But I've seen a lot of interesting comments coming in from the Brewers side of things. Seems like the Angels did pretty good here.
Yeah, I think they did. I think if you look at what some people are saying around the league, they're saying the Angels did really well with this trade, and I see why, because they got a really good player in Hunter Renfro. So I'm excited with this trade. It does solve one of the issues the Angels were looking at in the corner outfield spot. And Hunter Renfroe can play the corner outfield very well. He plays both corner outfields as well. And it just gives the Angels more versatility with what they have. You know, they've got a lot of outfielders that can play multiple positions, which is nice. You don't want just guys that can only play one position. And some people are like, "What? All outfielders can play three positions?" But no, that's not true. Some guys can only play right field. Some guys can only play left field. But it's nice that Taylor Ward could play all three spots. Renfroe could probably play two, maybe three in a pinch. And you got Trout, who could play all three if we had to. And Moniak can play all three. Adele, we'll give him two and a half.
Could play all three.
We'll give him two and a half.
You know, on athleticism alone, I know the defense hasn't been there for Adele, but yeah, it gives the Angels depth. And I do have a couple questions for you. We're going to go over some stats here real quick. Last year, I have limited stats just on what I posted, basically. I know you probably have some more up that you might want to talk about. But Hunter Renfroe last year, 2.5 F4 / 255, 315, 495. Had a 124 WRC plus. For those of you who don't know, 100 is the league average. 23.2 K percentage, 7.5 walk percentage. 4 defensive run save. So if you look at a defensive run save metric, he was above average. And he also had a 35.2% hard hit percentage. You got anything else you want to add to those stats? I know maybe some
splits. A lot of barrels. Like I believe it was 39 barrels, which was huge. There's two numbers that are really interesting to me. One of them is his WOBA, which in Milwaukee does a pretty good job with analytics. Some people don't love the way they do things, but they do a good job with analytics out there. His WOBA career-wise is somewhere in like the 320 range. As a Brewer, it was 344 and 347. So he really learned how to control the strike zone and get on base. I know the walk percentage isn't that high. It's only 7.5. But when you're putting a WOBA up a 347, the dude's getting on base. And that's huge for him. And I think one other interesting stat that you didn't bring up is the shift numbers. When you look on FanGraphs, there's some interesting numbers with the shift. He had the shift played on him quite a bit. Let me see if I can find that. I just had it here too.
50%.
It was an absurd amount where it was like 80% of the time he was getting shifted.
More than 50. That's impressive. And for those of you guys who are tuning in late, of course, to MLB new rules, no shift next year. Well, technically you can still shift players, but the infield has to be shifted on it's on one side of the diamond, basically. So you can only have two guys on each side, how it normally would be of second base. So
it looks like in about 400 ABs even more than that, maybe 500 of his ABs, he had some sort of shift on him. He was an okay hitter with the shift. Not great. He hit about 270 with the shift. But the number that's really interesting, no shift on him, he hit 329. That is very impressive for him. I think that could be a big, big thing that Perry was looking at when looking to acquire him. Kind of very similar to Taylor Ward, where he's a pretty good outfielder, very athletic, got a good arm, and that dude rakes. Like he hits for power, and he's going to hit a bunch of doubles. He's going to hit some home runs. He's going to be a fun part of this lineup, and it's just going to make the lineup deeper and harder to pitch to. I think that was the biggest thing with me last year. You asked me before the season what I thought about the Angels. I said the lineup isn't that good. It's very, very overrated. And it got to a point where it was two guys deep, maybe three guys deep, when Rengifo and Ward were swinging at the same time, and then Trout came back. So it finally got to four guys deep. But with what the Angels are putting together right now, it could get to 6, 7, 8 guys deep. And if Ohapi hits as we think he could, this lineup could be 8 guys deep, and you know, a shortstop away from being one of the deepest lineups in baseball. So it could be looking like one of the Dodger lineups in the last couple of years, where it's like, ooh, there's not really an out here. You know, if Rengifo's swinging it well, and Ward's swinging it well, and Renfroe swinging it well. This lineup is going to be very. I'm not worried about Trout and Ohtani and Rendon swinging. You know, all that's going to matter with those guys is, are they going to be healthy and on the field? If they're healthy and on the field, they're going to swing it well. So, yeah, this lineup could be very, very fun. I still would like them to go get a shortstop. Carlos Correa is number one on my list. Xander Bogaerts is number two, as you know, and I'm sure most of the people on here know that I think those are the two guys that you have to go get, one of them. Swanson, you know, if that's who's left, that's who's left. I'll take him. But Correa, Bogaerts, 1-2 for me. Turner's 3 and Swanson 4. The only reason Turner's 3 is I don't know how the speed's going to age. And, you know, it's probably going to be 8 to 10 year deal with him. So that's the one concern with him, where Correa and Bogaerts, they're going to age fine because they hit and that's all they really do. So, but really, really excited. And what the Angels gave up, I know we kind of talked about this already, but they gave up Elvis Peguero and Jansen Junk, both acquired in the Andrew Heaney trade from the Yankees. And they gave up Adam Semenaris as well. Semenaris, soft toss and lefty from Long Beach State. He was pretty good Long Beach State. Yep. When he got to the minor leagues, he pitched well in places he was supposed to, and then struggled in the places we thought he would as well. Like in low A, he pitched really well. It's pretty easy to pitch there. Once he got up to double A, he started to struggle a little bit. And triple A is where his numbers really kind of skyrocketed. Elvis Peguero, we know who he is. Throws hard, doesn't know exactly where the ball is going. One of those type of relievers that the Angels haven't really had success with lately. And then Jansen Junk never seemed to be a guy the Angels thought was a starter. I know he got a couple starts from the Angels last year, but it kind of felt like, well, we don't want to ruin anybody's options, or, you know, we don't have anyone else, so I guess we'll go with him. It never felt like he was a guy that they were like, yes, we want this guy to start. We want this guy to get the ball. Like when Silseth came up, it felt like they were all in on Chase Silseth. They wanted that guy to be a starter in the Angels rotation. And if he kept pitching good, he was going to stay in the rotation for as long as he pitched good. You know, Suarez is the same way. You saw that with Detmers. Once he got going, it was, hey, this is our guy. And it never really felt that way with Jansen Junk. So I'm curious to see how the Brewers use him, if it's a starter or reliever. But, you know, I think the package the Angels gave up, they added another 40-man spot, which is very helpful, going to give them they won't have to get rid of anyone if they acquire a shortstop or whoever is the next guy they acquire. So I really like this trade. I am a huge Hunter Renfroe fan. I wanted this guy a couple of years back before the Brewers got him, before the Red Sox got him, actually. And he's had a pretty good career over the last 3 years.
Yeah, man, you're touching on all my points here, man. Like, I don't have much else to talk about. I know, I'm just kidding. To break down what the Angels gave up. Jansen Junk's probably a 5-6 starter. You could put him in there as a spot starter at some points. I definitely thought that he would excel in the bullpen if they ever put him in that spot. I know. I forgot what school he went to. I feel like it was Sacramento State. I could totally be wrong. It was somewhere in New York. It wasn't Sacramento State. It was somewhere in New York, New York State or something like that. He was Seattle State, Seattle University is where he went. Reliever there, was touching 96, 97 as a reliever. I thought that that would be something that the Angels look at down the road. The Yankees ended up making him a starter out of Seattle. And I know that was Seattle now after I went. I went 5 or 6 different schools.
Yes. I just wanted to double check for you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a good reliever in college. The Yankees made him into a starter. I thought the Angels might go back to that. Elvis Peguero, you saw a lot of good stuff there. I mean, mid to upper 90s with some run, kind of a funky arm spot, good slider, just never showed it. You know, you always hoped that Peguero was going to start catching fire because he had the stuff to be really good. And honestly, he might go to Milwaukee and be a dude. You know, like you look at Josh Hader, all of a sudden turned into something really good. I mean, they've done a pretty good job with producing pitching. And the Angels have actually taken a few guys from Milwaukee to help with the pitching side of stuff. I know that we mentioned that Corbin Burnes always kind of reminds us a little bit of Sam Bachman in a sense. So it's interesting there. And then Adam Semenaris, you already mentioned it. He found something in Inland Empire, maybe a new slider, a new pitch, I believe is what it was. And he just started striking guys out. He took it into high A. And then, you know, he just never really looked back. He found his way into Double A Rocket City. And then by the end of the season, he was in Triple A out of nowhere. Probably more of a depth piece for sure. Like you mentioned, fifth rounder out of Long Beach State. So it's always cool to see the SoCal kids,
round draft.
Yeah. And a 5-round draft too and everything. So, he's probably like a 5-6 starter as well. Very similar to Jansen Junk from the left side.
Not overpowering.
No, no, and you like the trade. You like the trade that they made.
Absolutely,
here, for sure,
absolutely,
100%. And you look at the lineup that they could put out as well. I know we've mentioned this. There's you're hoping if Walsh is healthy, it's definitely a little bit different of a lineup than what it could be right now. But you're looking at something like Taylor Ward leading off, Trout in the two hole, Otani DHing in the three hole, Rendon in at third base in the four hole. You slide in Renfro out in left field in that five spot, and then Renifo at second base, Urshela at first base. Of course, if Walsh is healthy, this lineup becomes a little bit different. You might be able to slide Walsh up ahead of
Renfro.
Yeah, I think right you slide. You probably slide him above him just because you can go righty lefty, but I don't know if that's a way that I know Madden like that. I don't know if Perry.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
And then you know you could probably go Urshela as well at first base if he's not
healthy. It's a lefty too. Even if Walsh is healthy, Urshela is probably playing against the lefty. Yep. But you're probably Walsh 6, Rengifo 6, Urshela 7, Rengifo 7.
Yeah, in that area, and then of course, Stassi's as well in that area. You could probably put. Depending on Ohapi could be up there too, depending on how he's hitting. Assuming that he's going to be probably your opening day catcher in a sense. Stassi probably gets the nod because Otani's starting. We've already mentioned that, but the big hole, I know we haven't mentioned David Fletcher. I'd love to see David Fletcher move around the diamond, not necessarily be a starter at one position, but, you know, be able to get Rendon off his feet for a day, be able to get, be that defensive replacement. But if you do, he's probably your starting shortstop at the moment. You probably put Renifo there. And of course that's their big hole. You already mentioned it. They need to go get a shortstop. I know that I said it on a previous podcast that they're going to get Swanson. I think that changes now. Big thing. I know a couple of reporters have already pointed this out. The Angels have only spent $33 million this offseason and hit a lot of holes. They've gotten two starters, two everyday guys in Gio Urshela and now Hunter Renfro. And they also got a starting pitcher in Tyler Anderson. They're probably still another pitcher away from really, really being dominant. But I think the motto is still going to be the same thing as it was last year for us is stay in it until July and see who's available on that starting pitching side of things. They have some interesting pieces in the farm system. So I think right now all focus now has to turn to a shortstop. And of course you have to remember the Angels finished 1B in the Carlos Correa sweepstakes. I know that they have, I know that Correa's agent, Scott Boras, is not a huge Artie Moreno fan.
But you don't have to worry about that anymore.
You might not have to worry too much about that. Exactly. You don't know how much Artie's going to be in on this. So if the Angels want one of these shortstops, I think they're going to go and get him. I think they're going to go push really, really hard for one of these guys now. So last but not least, I did want to bring up, I would assume that Perry just threw it out there to all the reporters in a big group message would be my guess, because everybody has the same quote from Perry. I want to get your thoughts on it. He said, I think we're significantly better. I don't think the work is done. There's definitely areas where we can continue to improve, but I do think we're significantly better. Do you agree with that right now? Where would the Angels stand before we let everybody go?
I'm not going to say significantly better. I think they have gotten better, but it's a small step better, because what you're looking at right now, I think you even brought it up in a tweet today. All the teams that have won World Series lately have had a legitimate all-star shortstop. The last team to not have a legitimate all-star shortstop was all the way back when Kansas City won the World Series with Alcides Escobar. So I think that's the missing piece to make this like, oh my gosh, this team looks like a playoff team. Tyler Anderson, we think he's going to regress. The Gio Urshela thing, a little bit of a head scratcher because we kind of have that guy, but if he's going to play first base, then I guess it makes sense. So I'm not ready to say that this team is significantly better. I think right now they're still sitting around 500. With the roster they have right now, they're going to be right around 500, which is where I had them last year going into the year. They need to go get a shortstop. They need some work in the bullpen and probably one more starting pitcher. So I'm not going to say significantly better, but just they've got better.
They have. I agree with you on that. I think that they've significantly better is not the correct term. I don't agree with that. They've gotten better. They've gotten deeper, which is the big thing. And I think we preach this. We preach this a lot. You know, they don't need the best player, though. I want them to go get the best shortstop. I think that's a spot where having one of the best players is huge. You know, you look up the middle, and that's where teams are made behind the plate. You're pitching. That's up the middle. Not first base. Shortstop, second base, and center field. Those are the big positions that you need to be good and you need to be the best in. And the Angels haven't been the best at any of those positions at any point, minus center field. I'll give you center field. But you look at second shortstop, they've had the worst offensive shortstop since offensive shortstop stats since 2018. Andrelton Simmons, and Andrelton Simmons was a below average hitter. Yep. The Angels haven't had a good hitting shortstop since Eric Ibar, and even stretching Eric Ibar.
He was like a 95 David Eckstein plus.
You know, like the Angels have never had a good hitting shortstop. No. And you look at what good teams have, and that's a good shortstop. The Angels definitely need to go and get one of those. Luis Renifo, you can work with at second base. You can find a way to win games with Renifo and Fletcher and Urshela and Soto if you want to put him in the mix. And hell, you never know. Zach Neto's right around the corner too. At second base. So, and then the Angels have gotten better behind the dish. They went and got Logan Ohapi. So yeah, they've gotten better. They need to get even more better.
Yeah.
So,
and that was something I was going to talk about with Renifo too. Like, let's stop putting him at shortstop, everybody, please. I mean, you look at the numbers. He's a negative defensive run saved at every position but third. He's a negative outs above average. He's a negative UZR, which for those of you guys, it's his range. He's not good defensively, is what the numbers will tell you. So let's stop putting him at shortstop, okay? David Fletcher, like you said, he would make perfect sense to be the guy where it's like, hey, Renifo, you've played 10 straight days. We're going to give you a day here. Fletcher, you're going to play second. Rendon needs a day off, and we're facing a lefty. You know, Urshela's going to play first, and Fletcher's going to play third base or whatever. Like, they have the pieces now to be able to do this, and like, let's not settle for putting average to below average guys in the starting lineup when we could settle for putting elite guys at every position.
Absolutely. So Nate, I think we got it all out of our systems, guys. Remember, tomorrow bright and early, we have a Zach Neto interview. First overall pick by the Angels, 10th overall in the MLB draft last year. Stay tuned for that. Of course, thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. If you could go ahead and subscribe wherever you are listening or watching us, you can go follow us on all our social medias. We're going to have an article coming out on talkinghalos.com as well very shortly about this whole trade. And guys, thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.